97.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Calls are growing for the release of files related to the federal investigation of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who died by suicide before his sex trafficking trial.
The House Speaker is now the highest-ranking Republican in Washington to call for more answers about Jeffrey Epstein.
I'm for transparency.
Mike Johnson told podcast host Benny Johnson that the Attorney General needs to be more upfront about why she seemed to suggest in an interview that she had Epstein's client list on her desk. Pam Bondi's Justice Department and the FBI have since said there was no such list.
She needs to come forward and explain that to everybody.
Some Republicans now want imprisoned Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell to be called to testify before Congress. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
In Los Angeles, police are investigating a double homicide. A couple shot inside their home. One victim, reportedly a music supervisor for the American Idol series. Stocks ended mixed today due to economic data showing inflation ticked upward along with some tariff concerns. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Today is a campaign finance deadline. We're seeing fundraising reports for the first half of the year. Of course, we're coming off the heels of the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history. More than $100 million was spent on the Susan Crawford-Brad Schimmel election in the spring. Incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley, a conservative, reported no fundraising activity as of the end of June, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Meanwhile, Judge Chris Taylor has announced record fundraising for next year's election, more than $500,000. That's even more money than Justice-elect Susan Crawford's campaign raised during the same time period. Taylor's campaign says she's gotten donations from almost 5,000 people and organizations from all of Wisconsin's 72 counties. This signals the state may continue to shatter Supreme Court spending records. And you know what that means. Prepare for the political ads to return. Even though the race for governor is more than a year away, Whitefish Bay Republican Bill Berrien is moving fast. Less than a week after announcing his campaign, he's booked about $400,000 in ads on radio, TV, and online. The former Navy SEAL and manufacturing executive faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman in the Republican primary. Governor Tony Evers has not said whether or not he'll run for a third term. And today is Give Something Away Day. So if you've got boxes of things to donate just sitting in the garage, clothes that don't fit, old kids' toys, today's a great day to finally drop it off. Here in Madison, we've got Goodwill, St. Vincent de Paul, Habitat for Humanity, and the Dane County Humane Society. And all of them have thrift stores that accept donations to further their missions, whether it's to help people with disabilities find fulfilling job opportunities, get families into homes, feed the hungry, or care for animals. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
A new champion in the Home Run Derby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, slugger Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners won the Home Run Derby in Atlanta. Raleigh with a total of 54 home runs hit. The All-Star Game going on tonight. Freddy Peralta, rookie Jacob Mizorowski, and closer Trevor McGill all there to represent the Brewers. McGill asked, where did reaching the All-Star Game rank on his list of goals this season?
This is number one for me this year. You guys asked me earlier this season, and I kept it to myself that this is what, you know, I was striving for. And a lot of hard work and a lot of pitchers in front of me, a lot of my bullpen guys in front of me, you know, putting it down and giving me the opportunity to go out there and get saves this year. So, without the guys around me, this probably wouldn't be possible.
Basketball, it's the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls tomorrow in Las Vegas in summer league action. How hard is it to build a roster these days? GM John Horst.
I think the NBA is as compelling and competitive today as it's ever been.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight storm chance, warm and muggy, lows upper 60s to 70. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and muggy, a high in the mid 80s. Clearing out and cooler Thursday. Currently it's 85.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. And man, are you in for a treat. We have a great show tonight, folks. We're going to talk a little comedy. There was a passing of an actor about a week and a half ago called Michael Madsen, who was in a lot of Quentin Tarantino films. If you don't know who he is, you'd probably know his face if you saw him. He was a great character actor and at times a leading man. And we are going to talk about his life and his career a little bit at 6:35. With a very funny guy who idolized him named Mike Schmidt, who has been on the show several times before and is very funny. That's at 6:30. And then at 7:20, oh, man, Conrad, we got a treat for the fine listeners, for the couch potatoes. 7,000 Apart joins us here in the studio, and they will perform live at 7:20. Those are two, I mean, come on, that is an evening of entertainment right there, folks. And what better show to have such guests on than a show like Nightlight that talks about entertainment on a nightly basis, as well as all the fun stuff happening in our communities. Conrad, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. You have, all right, this is funny. We were talking about nudism last night. It was
yes.
National Nude Day, and our question yep. was something to the effect of, where would you streak if you had to go streaking? Streaking is kind of a lost art.
Yeah.
And you said what to that?
Well, you know, because we talked about this last year during this time, I believe. It was first cruise ship that fully allowed nude.
Right.
It was just a nude cruise ship out of Miami, and they're doing it again, and I just got an ad for it. Because my phone is listening. And
your
they heard
phone
me
is
say,
listening.
They heard me say, I want to go on a nude cruise ship, and I want to streak it.
But did you, I mean, do you think your phone picked up on that conversation last year at this time of the year, and that's why it's sending you that? I mean, I know last year you signed up for the cruise, and they ran out of space.
They denied me.
You sent in naked pictures, and they said, no thanks. But seriously, like, what? Do you think it, because phones do that all the time with Alexa and Siri, and our microphones are on, you get all these ads yeah. all of a sudden. It's ridiculous. So what do you think that's from?
You know, it had to be me talking about that because it just showed up today.
Yeah.
So it had to, you know, because there's sometimes I'm talking about golf with my brother or something, and then yeah. I lay in bed, you know, and then just see on Instagram, oh, here's Bad Birdie. Here's a brand that you like. Oh, here's the Golf Warehouse.
Here's some Titleists for sale.
Okay, yeah. You guys know I'm looking for it. Please stop showing me ads. I don't want to buy it.
Oh, God, it's everywhere. You cannot escape consumerism. The ads now on Prime, here's what they're doing, because I've been watching the show Ballard, which is a Bosch spinoff, and it's on Prime. So when Prime does ads, they put a little box in the corner. Buy this now. Click here. It's like,
yeah.
get out of my face.
You know, I was... I told you yesterday, I watched some of those films on Prime.
Yeah.
And I saw that too. And I feel like they increased the amount of ads on there. I feel like I'm waiting for like 2 minutes and 30 seconds now. It's like, oh, after these ads, you won't have to watch another ad.
And here's what they do. Here's why I think they're clever, because they'll do like 2 minutes of ads and it's like, oh my God, like it's merciless, because now we're used to no ads, or we've sort of gotten used to no ads. But then they'll do a commercial that's only like 15 seconds. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, this isn't bad. Okay, then you got 3 minutes next time. Like, I feel like they're just toying with us, you know.
You know,
terrible.
I feel like, you know, I really like Tubi that it's free.
Yeah.
But then they do have, when you're looking on it, they have like those yellow marks that are like, there's going to be an ad here.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm not looking forward to that.
You get like nervous energy, trauma. That's the voice of Conrad Krieger, folks. He is our producer tonight, who is working the board. And did you have a good day, Conrad?
I did. You know,
yeah.
I think my tattoo's come to the point where it's starting to peel.
We never really talked about the tattoo. I got to say, it looks really sharp. It's very colorful.
It is, yes.
Tell the fine listeners what you're working with there.
Well, so the day before I got my tattoo last week, Friday, I did a dumb mistake, and I looked up on TikTok, where's the most painful spots?
Oh, come on.
I don't know why I did that. Don't ask me. I was a little nervous to get my first tattoo, and I looked at it. Originally, I was going to get this tattoo on my calf.
Oh, yeah.
And then the TikTok said, oh, don't get a tattoo on your calf. It hurts so bad. So I chickened out of that spot.
But how long are you really in pain for? You said when you got it, at a certain point, it really started to hurt. But how long were you in pain when they were working it?
I mean, so the first like 5 minutes, since I'm not used to that, my body was kind of like rejecting it a little bit, I feel like. Hmm. I got flush, started sweating.
Really?
Took a 5 minute break. They gave me some sugar.
What's the sugar do? Just give you energy? Or?
Yeah, it's to keep your blood sugar up.
So you don't feel faint or whatever?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow.
And they say eat a big breakfast, so I ate 4 eggs.
Okay.
So I was stocked up, you know. I was drinking a lot of water during the day, and I just think my body was, like, not used to it. But once I feel like I got used to it, it started hurting less.
Okay.
I still felt it, you know.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like when I first got it. So, yeah, the black lines, I think it's called the linear needle, when they're doing the black... what is it?
Like the outline or whatever.
Thank you. The outline. Yeah. Yes. That one hurt worse than the shading when they just did the color. But yeah, it took about 2 hours. And my brother made sure to make fun of me after it for
needing the sugar.
Well,
what did he do?
Well, I mean, he has a lot of tattoos, so he's used to it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So he's like, on my first tattoo, I had to take a little break too. So, but the tattoo artist said I did a good job. So,
okay.
He probably says that to everyone, though.
Come back again. We got a great show tonight, folks. As I just mentioned, a comedian and podcast host of the podcast 40-Year-Old Boy, Mike Schmidt, will be here at 6:35. One of our favorites, 7,000 Apart, Amelie and John will be here at 7:20. They are a Swedish/Green Bay rock duo, and they are fantastic. And we've had them on the show since the show's inception, really. We've had them several times. Here in the studio, they will be here tonight at 7:20, rocking the studio. That will be fun. I think we should, without further ado, get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
In honor of his 83rd birthday, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? That's a good one. We love Harrison. Who doesn't love Harrison Ford? He's like America's actor. He's a good guy. Just a wholesome dude. Always has dressed to the nines. Fashion sense you could set your watch to, as I like to say. He turned 83, I believe, on Sunday. So in honor of his 83rd birthday, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-7-5-CIVIC. And you can text us on the app if you're listening on the app, like most of our listeners do. And if you are watching the radio on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, X, or YouTube, you can text us on the stream, your favorite Harrison Ford movie. If you got a comment about Harrison Ford, that's fine, too. I'll say this. He should not be allowed to fly ever again. And maybe they took his pilot's license. But remember, he had, like, within like a 2-year period, he was crashing into a golf course, then in the car. Like, this guy should not be allowed to fly a plane. But he's still a good actor.
When I was younger, I had a chance to, almost had a chance to meet him.
Really?
My uncle has his pilot's license. He'd fly to EAA.
Okay.
And so did Harrison Ford. And my uncle met him and said, "You guys need to come." And we were like, I don't know, 5 minutes too late or something. But my uncle met him.
Were you going to fly with him?
No, just meet him.
Okay.
But, I was like, I was like 10, so I was like really nervous about it too.
Oh, yeah.
Now I would have been like, yes, let's go. Absolutely. I don't care about anything else. Let's go to Harrison.
No, he is arguably, well, not arguably, he is one of the greatest movie stars of all time. His films have made money. He's a good actor. And he's done these big blockbuster films where he was the star and a movie star, but he's also a great actor. And on social media, we've been posting the question every day. If you're there on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. But we post the question of the day every day on Facebook. And I chimed in today on Facebook and I said, American Graffiti, A Fugitive is probably his most renowned role. I think he was Oscar nominated for The Fugitive. I love The Fugitive. It's one of those movies. I think we talked about this recently. When it's on in a hotel, you can't turn it off. As are a lot of Harrison Ford movies are like that. But I'm going to change my answer because I forgot he was in The Conversation, which I just watched about a month ago. Francis Ford Coppola, one of his first films. Gene Hackman is the star. And Harrison Ford plays kind of the heavy for the Robert Duvall character, but not a major role, but he's really good in it. And he's just a fantastic actor. So let us know. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I actually chimed in on social media as well.
Oh, well, let's just go to the social media answers, shall we? Let's read those first. Conrad Krieger. Oh, look at you. How'd you get to the top of the list? Is that because you produced the show?
I think so.
Okay. Favorite Harrison performance, Harrison Ford performance is Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. I have a feeling that will be one of the most popular ones.
I love that episode because he's on Hoth mainly, and I love him on Hoth there. It's the start of the movie, yeah.
What is he on?
Hoth, that's a planet.
Oh.
Nerd! Yes.
I would never have guessed that. I didn't know that.
I will say this, though. His new show, Shrinking, I love him in
Shrinking.
That.
Yeah.
He is so good in that. He plays a kind of an older gentleman who's a shrink, but he also has starting to get Parkinson's and stuff like that. So he's dealing with that as well as being a shrink. He's great in that.
And Jason Segel, right?
Yes.
He's the other guy. Daniel Wheeler says, The Fugitive is a classic. I can rewatch it anytime. Yes, that's a great film, Daniel. Thank you. And he's Sarah Jean Rosenberg, giving Daniel some props and says, Daniel Wheeler, so good. Agreed, Sarah Jean. Thank you for chiming in. Pete Schwab, I said American Graffiti. I've changed my answer. It's The Conversation. Paul Vanderplas from Wonderfully, Wisconsin. He'll be on the show
Thursday,
correct? Yeah.
For the popcorn pick.
Popcorn pick of the week. That's right. Can't wait to have Paul back on the show. Check out Wonderfully, Wisconsin, folks, on Facebook and probably Instagram, right?
Not Instagram, actually. Facebook and TikTok.
And TikTok. Wonderfully, Wisconsin. A great follow if you like Wisconsin food. And Paul just does a great job. But he says he has many fantastic movies, but I've always really enjoyed Regarding Henry. Now, that's an offbeat one. That's a great choice, Paul. Or should I call him Wonderfully Wisconsin? He's Paul, not posting as Paul. He's posting
Wonderfully Paul.
Wonderfully. Mr. Wonderful. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you on Thursday night. Matt Cassane, a Chicago comedian, says he was great in Apocalypse Now. Another great one. Yes, Matt. Thank you, buddy. Caroline Thompson says, I loved him as Indiana Jones and in The Fugitive. Cannot go wrong. You know what I remember reading about Harrison Ford when, like in People magazine or something in the mid-80s, when all the Indiana Jones films were coming out, he could bench 375 pounds.
What?
That was a thing in the 80s is what you could bench. I mean, it is kind of now, but that's almost in the 80s. That's like how you identified yourself if you were a guy.
I mean, that's a lot
more important than your social security number. But it is a lot of weight. He's a very in-shape guy. Laura Enright says, Laura Enright, a previous guest on the show, says the Indiana Jones movies are classic. Well, the first three. I don't think it would have worked if anyone else played that character.
Correct.
Very well said, Laura. Thank you. And then my pal Brenda Socha says, Witness and The Fugitive. Yeah, Witness. You ever see Witness?
I don't think I have.
Oh, he hides out in Amish country. Great movie and a good drama. We're coming back. We'll read your text and... What else are we going to do, Conrad?
We could talk about the Emmys, you know?
We got to talk about the Emmys. Some great shows nominated and great TV for you to watch. Great color television for you to watch if you haven't seen any of them. We'll tell you what you should be watching next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Cool off the summer at Frosty's, West Madison's small batch ice cream shop. Enjoy rich, handcrafted flavors and soak up the sun on the outdoor patio. And if you mention you heard this on the radio, get 5% off. Frosty's, 702 South Gammon Road.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Animal enthusiasts, registration is open for Camp Paw Print Summer Break at Dane County Humane Society. Kids ages 7 to 12 enjoy animal interactions, lessons with experts, service projects, art projects, and more. Visit giveshelter.org/camp for details. And now, Dane County Humane Society has a camp for ages 12 to 14. Camp Wildside is a nature and wildlife camp, bird and plant identification, monitoring nests, wildlife games, service, art projects, and more. Details at giveshelter.org/wildside.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Conrad Krieger, the kid working the board. Great to have you guys with me on this beautiful Tuesday night. I was driving down here. It was at 90 degrees, my car thermometer said. Is that true? Was it 90 in Green Bay today?
I was too lazy last night, and I parked my car outside, not my garage. And when I got inside it this morning, it was so hot. I had to, just pull all the doors out, just let some fresh air go through it.
First of all, let me say that is true laziness. If it's bad. If you're too lazy to remain sitting and drive 20 more feet into your garage.
I think it's just pushing the button. That's the laziness right there.
Yeah, I can see where that would be taxing. We've got Mike Schmidt coming up at 6:35. Mike and I are going to talk a little bit about the legacy Michael Madsen left behind with his acting work. He was a staple in the Quentin Tarantino movies and a really good actor. He is the brother of Virginia Madsen, who is also a fine actor, and she has been seen in films like Sideways. They are siblings. Virginia is still around, but Michael Madsen passed away about a week and a half ago, and Mike Schmidt will memorialize him as only Mike Schmidt can, and maybe Mike will even have a story for us. His stories are outstanding. He's a very funny comedian and the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And then at 7:20, 7,000 Apart invades the studio with song, with lyrics and music, and it's going to be an absolute joy to reconnect with Amelie and John. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? He just turned 83, and I just finished watching him in 1923 Season 2. He's still riding a horse. I mean, the guy is like a specimen at 83 years old. So what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? That's tonight's question. Let's go to the text line and see what they have to say. Rob from Green Bay says, Witness. Yeah, Witness. You got to check out Witness Con. He hides a young Amish boy who witnesses a murder in Philadelphia, and then Harrison Ford hides out. I think he gets shot, and he has to hide out on the farm, and there's a love interest with Kelly McGillis, a kind of a love story brewing. But a good cop movie, too. To be honest, the love story element I don't think is that great, but there's some funny scenes where he's trying to assimilate with the Amish and coexist with them, and they're hiding him, and there's those cultural barriers that are kind of funny, but it's a good movie, a very good movie. Tom from New Berlin says, Morning Glory, a great anchor, but is difficult, plus 42 playing branch, Ricky Chadwick Boseman, a lost artist. I don't know what Tom means there, Con, do you? 42 was
he did play a part in 42.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Morning Glory, a great anchor, but is difficult, plus 42.
Yeah, he plays Branch Ricky
in
42.
I did not know that, Tom. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, he has a really good part in that.
I'm going to look that up. I kind of forgot about that. I did see the movie. Steve from Florida says, I believe Harrison Ford's best acting movie was Regarding Henry. Who else said Regarding Henry?
I think that was social media.
Yeah, social media, yeah. You know, I've never seen Regarding Henry.
I haven't either.
It's supposedly some fantastic acting. I think that's the one where I think he gets like shot in the head and has to go to therapy and come back from it.
He gets caught in the middle of a robbery and is shot in the head.
Right. But it's a drama, right? Like a kind of a stark drama. Yeah. I don't think he kicks any ass in it like he often does. Tom from New Berlin says Shane or Shame. I think he means Shane. Here's the problem too. Harrison Ford has so many acting credits.
Yes, he does.
I can't even, like, Con, will you Google that? See if he was in Shane. I'm pretty sure he was. Thank you, Tom. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, how much can you bench? Great exchange in Boogie Nights between Dirk and Reed. I love that Mark knew both their names. Like, I knew Dirk. I forgot what John C. Reilly's name was in Boogie Nights, but that is a classic line. And I think, Mark, if I remember correctly, I think Dirk or Mark Wahlberg's character does like a cannonball off the diving board at a party at someone's yard. And John C. Reilly says, that's pretty good. Let me show you what you did wrong. Like really passive aggressive. But I do remember that. What do you bench? Just great. Great 80s stuff. Sue from Verona says Regarding Henry as well. I have to see this movie. I'm embarrassed. People. David from Richland Center says Blade Runner. Another one for Blade Runner. Great movie with, you hear that, Conrad? What do you know? Someone from downtown Green Bay has a loud car. Go figure.
That's really a surprise.
Beautiful. But I think Blade Runner, yeah, I think Daryl Hannah and Rutger Hauer also in Blade Runner. Great stuff. Tom from New Berlin says wrong text. So I was reading the wrong text. We were trying to interpret Tom's text and relate it to a Harrison Ford movie, but we weren't supposed to be doing that. Well, there you go, Tom. It was still interesting. So the Emmy nominations came out, and boy, I got to tell you, there is so much content. Yes. All I could think about was all the shows. Like, I've seen a lot of them, but there's a lot of them I have not seen, and that's how it is now. Like, I'm just watching the Queen's Gambit from 2020, and all these shows slip through the cracks, but the great thing about the Emmys is it kind of tells you what to focus on. If you want to watch the show that everybody's talking or the shows that everybody is talking about. So have you seen a lot of these?
You know, I didn't know. I thought Nobody Wants This was from like last year.
Well, we had Adam Brody on in 2024.
Before the election.
Before the election.
So I feel like it's been a while. I think the next season's coming out next year.
Well, it's sometimes they air them and then they qualify for the 2025 awards like the Oscars, you know.
That show I did enjoy. I thought it was hilarious. I've watched a lot of these, and my favorite out of all the comedy series is Shrinking.
Okay. Yeah, I got to check that one out, too. Comedy series, you got Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks. Great show. Nobody Wants This. Haven't seen it. Only Murders in the Building. Got to go back to it. Shrinking, haven't seen. The Studio, haven't seen.
Watch The Studio.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Because remember who said they liked The Studio, too?
Who was it?
Mike Clemens.
Mike Clemens. Oh, he said that on Facebook again. Yeah. He did a reiteration. But these are all great shows. Abbott Elementary, like The Bear. I've only seen The Bear, like season one.
You got to catch up.
I got a lot of catching up. I got a lot of color television to watch. All right. When we come back, folks, comedian and podcast host of The 40-Year-Old Boy, Mike Schmidt, joins me. And we're going to talk about Michael Madsen, and Mike's going to have a story for us. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. When Governor Tony Evers signed the new state budget into law, he called it a win for Wisconsin's kids and families. But child care providers say the support for their industry isn't enough. Parker Olson reports.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's child care system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program, Child Care Counts, has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they describe just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diny Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways, to parents, to providers, and to systemic fixes. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda, raising local taxes to make up for education costs. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted. And it's not the politicians, because they don't trust the politicians the way it is.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do I recommend Superman? Sort of. As a video, it rocks. But as a movie, I guess it's still just okay. First, the good. James Gunn keeps the action and story moving along nicely. The film relies on what we already know about Superman, his adoptive parents in Kansas, and Lex Luthor, who in this installment resembles a certain billionaire. The filmmakers choose to go right to the bells and whistles, i.e. action, music, and some stunning effects. They even introduce a character that looks like it stumbled into the wrong movie from Jurassic World. There were a few other tangential issues I had, including a couple Daily Planet reporters who didn't even need to be in the film. And with a total of about five lines, actor Wendell Pierce as Perry White had absolutely nothing to do in the film. But Pierce is a great actor and deserves the residual checks coming his way. The main players, David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan, are great as Superman and Lois. Having said that, there is definitely enough cinematic energy in this movie to make the theater-going experience more fun than watching it at home. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight storm chance, warm and muggy, lows upper 60s to 70. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and muggy, a high in the mid-80s. Clearing out and cooler Thursday. Currently it's 85.
The John and Gordy Show.
Happy birthday, John, from your friend, the Sparkly Costco lady. In honor of your birthday, hot dogs are $1.50 today.
Oh, wow. Excellent. All right.
The Sparkly Costco lady.
There we go.
Your pal.
That's Kathy.
We also got a message from Laura wishing you 117 more. Yeah, you're 117 years old today. Yes.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Pretty much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll check in with Judy Davidoff from Isthmus, and Mike McCabe will join us.
And also purchase some of the John and Gordy Sporks.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we broadcast from beautiful downtown Green Bay statewide over the gorgeous summer night that we are that we have tonight. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Harrison Ford film? It was his 83rd birthday on Sunday, so we're talking about one of the greatest movie stars, you know, probably ever, I would imagine, in terms of accolades and box office he's been able to generate. An absolute legend. Jim Denny on the, he's watching on the stream, says, Harrison Ford, my favorite. The first one that popped into my head is Blade Runner, a true classic with him and Rutger Hauer. Great one. You know, it's weird. The second one, the remake, I can barely remember anything about it. I was probably playing like video poker while I was watching it or something, but the original I really remember, and I especially remember Rutger Hauer. Dave, also watching on the stream, says Indiana Jones, Fugitive is great. The Jack Ryan character, clear and present danger. Dave seems like a fan. Thank you, Dave. He says, I forgot about that one.
He's probably talking about Regarding Henry.
Regarding Henry. Yeah. A lot of people. That's got to be the front runner. Hey, before we bring Mike on, you were, what did your brother text you? Yeah,
well, he says Star Wars Episode 6 or Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. And then he added on saying, Mom and Dad have the show on. So I thought that was funny. He made sure that it wasn't him watching the show.
This show.
This show.
Yeah.
It's not him watching it. It's Mom and Dad. You know?
Why can't your brother listen to the show? You got too many tattoos or something?
I think so.
Come on. All right. This is exciting, folks. One of my favorite guests is about to join us here at Nightlight. He's always a blast to have on the show. He's a hilarious stand-up. He's an hilarious stand-up comedian and the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mr. Mike Schmidt. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Never has the word I'm so excited meant less, quite frankly. You're like, I'm so excited to get now to my friend. And people are like, no, absolutely not.
No. Listen, dude. Exciting. If they've heard you before on the show, I mean, people talk about your appearances. It's very funny. And the last time you were here, my immediate supervisor, who's no longer here, said that guy was hilarious. So.
And that's why they fired him.
That might have played a part in it, but I'll be honest with you, Mike.
So they moved him down the road.
Said some edgy things. They didn't like that you and your friends trounced those girls at basketball. So, all right, let's jump right in, Mike. I have to ask you, you were the first person I thought of when I heard about Michael Madsen's passing. Only 67. And you and I joked a little bit about, or not joked, I was being serious. You thought I was joking when I said sorry for your loss. But yeah, to be honest, I mean, these are our heroes. I mean, we're in the entertainment business. We were comedians, actors, these people that have done things that we thought were so cool. And I joked that when Springsteen dies, I don't know what I'm going to be a blubbering idiot for a month. Like, these people mean a lot to us. So I really did mean that. But tell us your thoughts on his passing.
Yeah, I did think you were teasing because, again, nobody takes anything seriously anymore and everybody busts balls and that's that. But I was shocked to hear about it. I was driving at the time and I have I got the Tribune app on the phone. And so the drop down menus will always give you news and it's always bad. So I never read it right away. Like, I'm just like, I can't imagine right, what's been done now. But it dropped down and I saw Michael and I couldn't make it out because the sun was shining on the screen of my cell phone. And Michael Madigan in Chicago has been undergoing, he's in trial and he's for taking bribes. So I thought it had to be something else about Madigan's trial. And then I kind of scrolled really fast because I'm literally driving, going 70 miles an hour. And I saw Michael M and I thought it was Madigan. And then I saw Reservoir Dogs. And I'm not kidding. I just knew. I knew because what else are they going to tell me? Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs loved his performance. Like the Chicago Tribune
40 years later, decided, yeah.
I decided to chime in now, or maybe they're just directing it directly to me now. And I had to, this sounds ridiculous. I pulled into a grocery store, and I started crying. And
wow.
I didn't mean to, you know, it wasn't like a thing, but also because I get hit, you know, when you know, Eddie Van Halen, guys like that, Prince.
Oh yeah.
They laid me low in a way where, and also I have I'll speculate on this, and this is gonna get too dark for your audience, but let's do it. when my dad died when I was a kid, and I was told in a not a gentle way, where somebody broke the news to me, like right in my face, hey, your dad's dead, like that kind of thing.
Jeez.
And it just happened that way. And so now whenever I see, like, you know, someone whom I cared about, a performer, and it's dropped on me like that, or not gently broken, because right. It is always just, it's immediate news because it's a celebrity. It kind of puts me back in that place. And so I immediately, you become 13 again, and you just kind of fry up, where you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like it's news you weren't expecting. It's a shock. And then you also are overwhelmed by the fact that it's something you loved. And so I just pulled into the grocery store, and I literally, not uncontrollably sobbing, but just tears, and I had to sit there.
Were you a fan, like when he was Mr. Blonde in Reservoir Dogs, is that what, I mean, you're kind of a guy, you're tied into music and movies and all that kind of stuff. Did you know about him before that? Or was that kind of where you discovered Michael Madsen was in Reservoir?
Well, Dogs? I knew him from, he was in The Natural. You know, okay. And so I knew him from that, which I had to watch later because I walked out in a theater. Don't ask me why.
because of the movie or
no? Yeah. Okay. When he struck out the whammer, I said, this is dumb. And I got up and I walked out. Being a baseball fan, I wasn't going to take that kind of pablum shoveled down my throat. I'm getting the hell out of here, man.
Good for you.
17 year old me takes a powder on The Natural. I can't stand this. Walks
it's that
out
one thing and you said yep. Forget it, I'll show
and
them.
It's early in the I paid to see the movie, walked out.
Oh,
couldn't do
beautiful.
It
beautiful
left the Bolingbroke plit in my wake and walked into the night. So bad. So he knew he was on there, you know. He played I think his name was Bump, if I remember correctly. I don't remember.
Or Bud. And then
he's in The Doors.
Yep.
You know, he's one of the hangers-on guy who's like, him and Billy Idol are like totally egging Morrison on to do a bunch of garbage stuff. But I did not see Thelma and Louise. I found that later. You know what I mean? Like, because those were the things he was kind of known for. But then Dogs is absolutely my introduction to him as the guy I was going to love forever. Because I think I've mentioned it on your show, and I don't mean to be that guy again, but people who know me know this. It's when I saw Reservoir Dogs, it is literally the first time I ever saw a movie where I felt like somebody made it specifically for me.
That's a great line. Yeah.
I went into it. I read the review in the LA Times that morning. I didn't know anything about it. We went to a theater, and this is a true story. I watched it. I sat there transfixed, shocked, because I love fake tough guy stuff, anything. And he was the toughest guy of tough guys.
Yeah.
Blood and crackling dialogue. It was something I had never seen before. And it felt like it came out of me. Like it was like in my DNA instantly. And I walked out of this theater. So I saw a matinee. I walked across the street to a Rite Aid. I got change for the payphone. And I called three of my friends in Chicago to tell them about that movie. And then I went back and watched it again.
Oh, that's so Mike Schmidt. And that's so great. It's so fun. When I saw Reservoir Dogs, that the first scene where they're at the table, you watch it and you go, I know I'm going to. Actually, the first two Tarantino films I saw were Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. And within 5 minutes, I'm like, I know I'm going to love this movie. I love the way he directs, the way he uses music, the dialogue. And was Michael Madsen, Mr. Blonde, the one who jumped out at you first in that cast?
Yes, instantly. Okay. Like at the table, because he does, you know, they do all the back and forth and the stuff is happening. But then Madsen is also beautiful, which doesn't hurt. Because, you know, you got Eddie Bunker, who looks like a convict because he was a convict who wrote a book.
Right.
You got Tarantino, who looks like he looks weird, like somebody pulled his head with forceps. You got Keitel, who you know. Buscemi's a mouse. You got Tierney. You got all of them are there. And then all of a sudden they cut the meds in and you're like, who is this dreamboat? Why? You know what I mean? It's crazy how amazing, beautiful he is. And, but also oozing malevolence, oozing violence, and just macho and tough and cool. He was cool.
Yeah.
And at the table, he does that thing where he's like, hey, you want me to shoot this guy? And he goes, you shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize. And then he just goes, and he winks. And in that movie, again, he was the things I was not. Like, I liked violence and I used to get worked up about stuff, but he never got worked up.
Yeah.
Like, even in in Dogs, when he shows up with a Coke, he's got a cop in the trunk of the car, but he stopped for a soda. All these little things where you're like, man. And then Keitel's freaking out on him and he does the, you know, you're going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite? And if you watch that scene again, Keitel goes, what? I didn't understand it. You better say it again. But the best part is Buscemi just looks away like, oh my God, what are we doing? Like he almost covers his face with his hand like, oh, great. And then he repeats it. And then as he walks forward to fight Keitel, he gets a big grin on his face. Because he's nuts. He's everything, man. God, I love them so much.
My guest is Mike Schmidt. He is the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast and a very funny stand-up comedian and a huge fan of Michael Madsen, who passed away about probably 10 days ago now. We're talking about his career and his performance in Reservoir Dogs. And, Mike, I read something probably right after he died that he just improvised. There's a scene, for those of you who haven't seen it, where he's a cop, right? Tied up.
Yeah.
And he's... The song Stuck in the Middle with You from Steeler's Wheel comes on and Madsen is holding an ear and he starts doing this little dance. And that apparently was improv and Tarantino was blown away by it.
Yeah. He does the dance before the ear. And then after the scene, he's holding, because he cuts the cop's ear off. He straddles him. The camera pulls away and then comes back where he's holding the ear. And then the improvised talking into the ear.
Hello.
Can you hear that? Hey, can you hear that? Yeah. Cops screaming, bleeding
so
everywhere.
So dark and horrible. Yeah. And he's like doing this fun dance. I mean, it was just that to me, like I remembered him from a movie called Racing with the Moon, which is Sean Penn. But I was like, oh, that's that guy. I didn't know who he was at the time. And so that's great. So I will say it again, Mike. I truly am sorry for your loss. And the movie business's loss. He has 350 plus credits. That's insane.
Yes, but a lot of them are like Punch Me in the Morning 1 and then it's four sequels, you know what I mean? He was a dude, he was an actor, like a guy delivering pizzas. He delivered movies, like absolutely. He just showed up, probably worked 3 days, made $100,000 and split. And he wanted, you know, his real love was he had his kids and he wrote his poems and he loved booze. I he's that guy. I have to tell you this. You got to watch Kill Bill 2. He's in Kill Bill 1 and 2. He's one of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad.
I need to rewatch.
Squad.
Yeah.
You really need to see the second one because, again, he's an assassin who now lives on his own in a trailer, and he's a bouncer in a strip club. And there's a scene where in Kill Bill 2, he has a scene with David Carradine where Carradine's talking to him. And you can see he plays it in a way where it's like he's filled with remorse for the things that he's done. So he's decided to live this garbage life to punish himself. He pawns his samurai sword, which was a once in a lifetime thing to own, but he just speaks in these plain tones where it's just he tells him to watch out for Uma Thurman, and Madsen's like, I'm a bouncer in a titty club, Bill. If she wants to start anything, she come down there, start stuff, and we'll get in a fight. And just this very plain spoken guy. And then when he goes to the strip club, he's just a hangdog dude. But then he gets an opportunity to once again revisit his malevolent past, and he takes advantage of it. It's great. You have to see it.
So great. Mike Schmidt, we will be, we're going to do a very short break here. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? Maybe Mike will answer that when we come back. That's our question of the night. So let us know at 720, 7,000 apart. The Rock Duo is here in the studio. Always fun to see John and Amelie. But when we come back after this, I cannot stress enough how short this break is going to be. We'll have more with Mike Schmidt. And this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're going to find incredible savings during the 4th of July sale at Verlo Mattress. We dare you to compare our American-made, locally crafted, factory direct mattresses. You see, we handcraft every Verlo mattress locally and pass the savings on to you. And every mattress we make is backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Save big when you upgrade to an adjustable base. And the more you buy, the more you save on pillows, sheets, and mattress protectors. But you'd better hurry. American-made, locally crafted. Verlo.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry,
hungry.
You're hungry.
Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
This is Chad Spate. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the hatred and misinformation that consumes our world, but I also know that we cannot build a house of justice and inclusion on a foundation of hatred and lies. We have to practice what we preach. At Chad's Design Build, we confront injustice the same way we confront a poorly built home, with love, compassion, intelligence, and persistence. We engage our community the way we engage our clients, with honesty and humility and the dogged determination that we can do better. Chad's Design Build, remodeling done well with love.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Brennan Center for Justice released its annual survey of local election officials. It found continued concerns for threats against poll workers and the loss of election security funding and staff now that the Trump administration has cut federal election security grants. The survey of over 800 municipal election officials found 60% were very or somewhat concerned about federal cuts to election security services. We reported in March on DOGE cuts of 300 cybersecurity experts from CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, and the suspension of grant funding to states for hardening systems to fight increasing cyber attacks from Russia, China, and Iran. Of the surveyed officials, 62% were concerned by the loss of CISA's direct technical support, and 80% said the federal government should be providing the same or more funding, not less. One-third of local election officials are very concerned about political leaders interfering with the work of poll workers, up 4% from a similar question in 2023. An additional one-quarter are somewhat worried about interference. Officials overwhelmingly, 81%, are concerned about false election information spread on social media, which contributes to 38% saying they have been harassed, abused, or threatened for just doing their job. We have links to the full Brennan Center survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. The Kid Conrad Krieger running the board. My guest is Mike Schmidt. He's a comedian and the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. We were talking about Michael Madsen, the last segment, who recently passed away and was kind of a staple in Tarantino films. Would he have, he's a great actor, no matter how you look at it, and certainly a type. What did Tarantino do for him in terms of like how would he have been? As much of a, I don't know if he's a household name, but would he have been as much of a name without Tarantino?
I don't know, because Hollywood got weird for a while. And also he kind of took a lot of jobs for money. So then that makes people think he shouldn't be in these big productions, but Tarantino was always willing to use him and wanted to use him and knew how to use him.
Right.
You know, again, like I said, he's in Hateful Eight. And there's, again, it's just, he was evil and malevolent, but also charming. There was a way he could do it, but not like Gene Kelly charming, but just he had a dimple and a wink and like a little gleam in his eye, but he was also going to just stab you right in the thigh, right in the perfect place where you'd bleed out. You know what I mean? He's just that cat.
He's not singing in the rain unless he's holding a body part that he just lopped off for
exactly.
A gangster. Yeah.
But yeah, he like a scene again, he's sitting down and he's writing and Kurt Russell approaches him in Hateful Eight and he goes, what are you writing? And he goes, my life story. And Kurt Russell goes, am I in it? And he just goes, and he just gets this big smile and he goes, you just entered. And it's one of my favorite. And I know Tarantino wrote it, but the way he delivers it is so perfect with this smirk and this big cheerful smile where it just, he was cool. But like I said, he also was dangerous. You just knew. He was dangerous. And Tarantino knew how to put him in those positions. You know, in both Kill Bill movies, he's even got a small part in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and he chews it up. You know what I mean? He's only got like five lines, but you don't forget him. You know what I mean? It's just, it's great.
Oh yeah. That, and I think we talked about this in one of your previous visits. That became my favorite Tarantino movie. I am so enamored with that film.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, eh. And then the second time I saw it, like, oh, this is amazing.
I'm having deja vu. Yeah. I think we did talk about that, but I think Madsen is one of those guys. He's like a Robert Forrester or somebody. He's kind of like actor proof. Like he could be in a big movie, but he seems like he's one of those guys. Maybe I'm wrong. Where is, if he does movies for paychecks that are small indies, it's not going to hurt him because he's got such a recognizable face and kind of a brand.
Yeah, agreed. But also as he got older, he looked different, certainly. You know what I mean? So, cause again, he had a lot of that boyish charm. Cause also, you know, like I said, he's in Thelma and Louise and, he's the sensitive one. He's the good boyfriend. You know what I mean? Where, so he can play that. He's also in Free Willy and he's the stepdad. And of course you think stepdad is, you know, stereotypically evil.
Right.
And yet he's there when the kid needs him. There's a great scene where he shows up for the kid and backs him up in a way that you wouldn't expect a stepfather to do it. You know what I mean? So he could do kind of anything, you know what I mean? That was the deal. But Tarantino used him in the way that he saw fit, which is to use his kind of violence, but also his charm. I think other directors certainly could have appreciated it and seen it. I mean, dude, he's in Species, which is a movie I saw at the movies.
He's in both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, was he going to not take the paycheck for two? Again, like I said, he's the only guy I know. He does voices in video games, and he's in a Michael Jackson video playing a criminal. You know what I mean? Like, he just took dough, man, and he was a working actor.
That's
kind of gone away.
And the money's going to roll in because I was looking at IMDb before. He's got a ton of stuff in post production.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, he's going to be on the screen for a while still.
Well, our mutual friend Pat told me a story. He knew somebody who worked on some of those kinds of movie sets. And Stallone did some of them, you know, like Bruce Willis was doing them near the end because he was bananas and he couldn't, you know, do real movies. But no, that's mean to say. I love Bruce Willis, but he wound up getting ill. I don't think the medical diagnosis was bananas.
You were wrong. So you just were a little insensitive.
Yeah, a little bit. And again, for a guy I love his work. So right. I can't sit here and just malign him. But so Stallone would come in. He would be, you know, because they want his name for the box for the rental thing internationally. And so Stallone would work a day. He'd come in and go, he'd film all of his stuff in 11 hours and make his $2 million and never be seen again. You know, and I'm sure Madsen did a ton of this stuff. Like I said, he probably drove to how close is this to my house? You know what I mean? He drove out to the beach and he yelled at somebody and, you know, or stabbed somebody in a tent and then went back to his house in time for dinner.
You have so many great, stories, Mike, about your celebrity encounters. And maybe we could talk about those after the news for a few minutes, unless you have something else you'd rather bring up. But what did you ever meet him, Michael Madsen? Or
I did.
Please tell.
Yeah, I did. Well, I have two stories, one where I met him and one where somebody met him for like kind of by proxy and did something for me. So I met him at the Virgin Megastore, which was down on Sunset.
Yeah, in Crescent Heights.
Yeah, which is now a Wacano.
I know what that is.
it's like some sushi joint, like, you know, hit and run sushi joint.
Okay.
So, but he was there because when they finally released Reservoir Dogs on as a special DVD, they released it in a blue box, a blonde box, a brown box, pink box, and a white box.
Love
So, and he was there to sign the DVDs. So I went and waited in line and he was at the table and he was, you know, I got to the front and it's that thing where, you know me, I'm going to use a nice word, verbose. And so, I mean, I just want to pull up a chair. Hey, man. But I know I can't. And I also want to be respectful because I'm also intimidated and weird sometimes because, I mean, these people don't know who I am and who cares. But Virginia Madsen was with him, his sister.
Love her,
and as
too.
I got, Oh, she's amazing. And hey,
we have to get to the news, Mike, and I feel like this story's going to pick up. And I also would love, because you're kind of an intimidating, you're kind of an intimidating guy too. And I would love, I was going to ask you again, if you have a different story you want to tell, that's totally fine. But I love the stories of you talking to John Tesh and Brandon Fraser. So you think about what you want to go into.
In the Virgin Megastore, both of those.
I thought Fraser was. All right. Mike Schmidt is here. We've got more with Mike after intermission here, and Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back for Act Two on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started out with nothing.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The pressure ramps up on Pam Bondi. House Speaker Mike Johnson calling on the Attorney General to explain more of what she reviewed regarding her department's investigations into Jeffrey Epstein. And there are calls for Epstein's convicted associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, to testify before Congress. Republican Senator Josh Hawley.
I think we ought to put it all out there, 100%. Yeah, she's willing to testify. I mean, we ought to call her in the Judiciary Committee, put her under oath.
President Trump's tariff policies may be pushing prices higher, the latest inflation report showing a 2.7% increase in consumer prices versus a year ago. Ukraine officials say Russia launched yet another massive overnight drone and missile attack. Reports of massive power outages. A manhunt in Los Angeles after a violent double homicide that left American Idol supervisor for the music, Robin Kay, and her songwriter husband, Thomas DeLuca, shot dead in their homes. A woman in the Karen Reed grand jury pleading guilty to taking information. This is ABC News.